And I want you to notice there is one reoccurring thought in these verses. The Bible says in verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, here's the first time, take no thought for what your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for your precious word. Speak to us now, Lord. Open our hearts. Lord, may through the work of the Holy Spirit that you would touch our lives and speak to us as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated.
When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. When I'm alone and I face the unknown, and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fear away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? How can I fear with Jesus?
This is the last message in this sermon series entitled Managing Our Lives. And I think sometimes as we struggle with managing our lives, I just felt it would be necessary that we wrap up with this one particular area that I think all of us struggle with, and that is the area of our concerns. My concerns is the title of my message. And here's my question to you. What are your greatest concerns in life? What is it that you have a tendency to worry about? I did a study and just a little bit of a research on this particular topic, and I wanted to know what each age group, and I ran across what teenagers, according to the Yahoo website, they said that the top 10 worries or concerns for teenagers are these: school, peers, friends, love, sex, work, substance, and substances in the sense of being drugs and other things, family, college. And then I read in another website, among the same age group, number one, pregnancy. Number two, peer pressure. Three, drugs. Four, alcohol. Five, school. Six, family problems. Seven, body image. Eight, virginity. Nine, gossip. 10, violence. And I just wonder how many of you in here have struggles that have come along those lines. Then I did a little other research about families or just homes in general, and here are some of the areas that kept popping up, and it depends on who you talk to and what polls you run across, but one person, or this came up almost without question: finances is the number one thing confronting families today. Housing is number two. Clothes is number three. Health is number four. Children is number five. And safety is number six. And perhaps maybe some of you might say, you know, I can relate to some of those concerns, and some of those are my concerns. And I can understand that. And I know that we all live in a real world. And I think this is a world, as the Bible calls it, perilous times. We live in what the Bible would call perilous times, and so we have to understand what Jesus is teaching us in this passage. You know, a casual glance of TV or current magazine targets what they want us to say would be our greatest concern in life, and they've been called the Trinity of Cares. It is food, drink, and clothing. Food, drink, and clothing. I don't think any of us, if you've been to the grocery store recently, I don't think any of you here who've maybe been to the grocery store would differ with this point, that groceries are extremely expensive today. You know, this bag right here we're looking at, and just having some of these things taken out of the bag, if you just look at them, that's probably $75 worth of food right there. And so, you know, we're concerned about that, because here's the thing. When I'm full, I don't care about it. But when I get hungry, I get concerned. How about you? Amen? You know, it's a strange thing. You know, whenever it comes to, you know, whenever you say, you know what, I'm going to stop eating, you say that after you're full. But in about 3 hours, you get over that, right? And we all know, we understand that food is a necessary part of our life. We have to have food, and we have to have three times a day or whatever it is, we have to have food. And then we all have to admit clothes is important. I mean, all of us understand that. But here's what we do. If you pick up the average magazine, you look at it, you'll find that there are many, many ads for food and clothing. I mean, they're there. It's always beating on us about the fact we you know, here's clothes and here's food and here's this and here's that. And so what happens is, you know, we are burdened down. We have the weight of many of these concerns placed on us. And Jesus is teaching that we need to go back and understand what the simple life of living and walking with Him is each day. In fact, He says that we're to take no thought. And what that means is this, that we're to stop worrying. That's what it means. It's mentioned three times, and it's not the idea that we're not to do it, but we're to stop doing it, implying that we already are doing it. And some of you in here may be in that category. You may be a worrier by nature. Can I be honest? I am. So this message for me is very personal. I'm a worrier by nature. And I want to help us, because as we look into this passage and in managing my life, honestly, here's what I find, that worry becomes detrimental to my life. It stresses me. There's enough stress in life without me putting it on myself. I want to ask you this question, all right? You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but here's a question I want to ask. How many of you have ever worried about something that never happened? Anyone ever had something like that? You ever had so much stress and worry about something, and then you feel like you wasted it? We've all done that, haven't we? And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that's not the way we're to live our life. There are some people, it seems like, unless they're worrying, they're not happy. Because worry is such a part of their life that's how they function. In fact, they get to the place where if they're not worrying, they don't think they're really being normal. And what Jesus is saying is that we need to understand that our concerns are being misdirected. They're being placed or put in the wrong places. One man said that worry is a thin stream of fear that trickles through the mind, which, if encouraged, will cut a channel so wide that all other thoughts will be drained out. That's a powerful statement, because that's what worry does. It literally drains everything out of us. And sometimes, honestly, we can get to the place where we're worried, that we're so worried that we drain out every bit of energy we have to function in life, that what happens is we don't have any energy left to do anything else. And so what Jesus wants to do is give us a warning on how to deal with it. We ought to admit we need food. Amen. Two of you do. What about the rest of you? You wouldn't be here if you didn't agree with that. Amen? We all agree that we need food, right? Amen. We all agree that we need clothing, right? Even though some people think they need very little of it. And as it warms up, they think they need less of it. But there is a passage, isn't it, about being modest? By the way, ladies, make sure that you keep yourself clothed this summer. You say, this is Sunday morning, you shouldn't preach like that. I always need to preach like that. You know, there are just some things that are meant for your husband only, ladies. Only for their eyes, no one else's. But as we read through this passage, Jesus is showing us why we shouldn't worry. Because we don't need to worry. Now, remember, it's personal. And I'm sure my wife's saying, I hope you're preaching and listening to what you're saying. Amen. But let me give them to you and see if this will help you. Number one, write this one down. It is unfaithful because of our master. Now, Jesus, when he uses the word here in this passage of Scripture, he uses the word therefore. Now, something my professor taught me in college, when you see the word therefore, you need to know what it's there for. And the reason why it's therefore is because it goes back to the verse previous to this. Look at verse number 24. Here's what he says. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, who is our master is depending on you. If Jesus Christ is to be my master, then I'm to depend on him. Now, here's something I found, that in the pagan world, the pagan world is preoccupied with things like food and clothing and the things in this world, because they do not know the master that we know. They're mastered by material things. They're concerned about those things because the concerns of God mean nothing to them. And what God wants us to understand is that as believers in Christ, we shouldn't worry because it's unfaithful because of our master. Now, what do we know about our master? Well, he tells us about himself in verses 25. And look at what he says. He says, number one, that God controls everything. You ever thought about that? God controls everything. I mean, there's nothing that goes on in your life that God didn't have control on. Worry, then, would be the opposite of contentment. You see, if I'm content with God, and we looked at contentment, and we talked about that godliness with contentment is great gain a few weeks ago, we understand that we as believers, that we are to be content with God, which should be a normal and a consistent state of mind. And so what we then, if we do that, then we step back and say, wait a minute, God controls all things. That means that God owns all things. I mean, if he controls it, it must all belong to him. 1 Chronicles 29:12 says it like this: both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Over and over again, we read in the Bible about how that God is in control of everything. And I firmly believe that we have a God that's in total control. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be standing before you right now. Because the only hope that I have is not in myself. I offer nothing. Nothing I can offer you, but Jesus can offer you everything. He controls everything. And when Jesus here is letting us know that we look back, that he's the master. And if he's the master of your life, then why do you worry about what? And an interesting thing is, we worry about the things Jesus said, I'm already going to take care of anyway. That's what we do. Jesus said, I already take care of it anyway. I've already got that. I know you need those things. I know you're going to need all the things that you worry about. But do you realize that he controls everything? You know, you're here because of him. You can stand today because of him. You can walk into this room because of him. You are alive because of him. Everything that you have, everything that you do, everywhere you go, any thoughts that you might have is because of him. He allows that by his grace. He gives you a mind. He gives you a body that can function. He gives you the mind to be able to comprehend these things. Look, God is in control of all things. And I have to understand that. You know, God's in control of this parking lot out here. As much as I would like to get that parking lot done, and I would love to dethrone God and take over. Because sometimes I think God moves a little bit too slow for me. I'm tired of looking at dirt. I want to see asphalt. You know what I'm saying? And all of you have said things like that in your own life about different things that you say, you know what, I would like to take over, but we realize that if we believe that Jesus Christ is our master, we better not dethrone him because he controls all. And God's reminding you and me of that. He wants us to realize that. And so we're struggling. We're trying to get through. We're trying to figure all this out. We ask so many questions. And here's what God says. Look, I'm in control. And by the way, God doesn't answer every question that we have. God controls all things. And second part of this, and I must hurry, God provides all things. He provides everything. It's interesting to notice here in verse 25, the Bible speaks of food and drink and clothing, raiment. But notice at the end of verse 25, he asks a very powerful question, and this question is the one that I really want you to reflect on for just a moment. Here's what it is. Is not life more than meat, drink, and raiment? What's he mean by life? Well, look, when I eat, it takes care of my body, right? I need food. But let me ask you a question. Is this all my life is? Is this life? Is this it? So I come here to eat. Eat and die. That's what I'm here for, right? Is that my life? Far from it. Is my life clothes? Is that what it is? So I come here just to dress and buy all the clothes I can possibly get. Is that what my life? So my life consists of food and clothes, right? No, but for some people, that's how they see life. You know what God says life is? Life is more than that. It's much more than that. Because life encompasses not physical, but it encompasses spiritual. In other words, it encompasses what you are before God. Where are you before the Lord? Where do you stand before Him? Do you know that when you die, you're going to heaven? Not because you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or whatever. You're not going to heaven because of that. Why do we go to heaven? Because we realize that we're sinners. And we can't go to heaven on our own. We're not good enough to get there. There's nothing good in us. We can't pay our way to heaven. We can't do enough religious things to get us there. We need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And then by putting my faith and trust in Him, I realize that when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says I can be saved. And what I'm saying is this, that your life is more than food and drink and clothing. And God says that we must realize that, because it's unfortunate, but so many times our concerns are more about those things than about Him. Our concern should be to live for God. Life is much more than food and clothing. So much more. Life is so much more than just those things. And what God is having us do is to get our eyes off of the temporal and look at the eternal. So my question then is this. Why are we worrying? Because it's unfaithful because of our master to worry. But let me give you the second point underneath this, and I must hurry. It is unnecessary because of our Father. It's unnecessary because of our Father. You see, we have to understand who He is. It's foolish for us to worry. And again, remember, this is being personal. I'm preaching to myself. And you guys are benefiting from this, of listening to me preach to myself, all right? Because the truth of the matter is, it is unnecessary because of my Father. Let me show you what the Father does for His children so that He can understand. He illustrates it in three ways. First of all, number one, He feeds the birds. He feeds the birds. Now, I thought at one time about bringing my macaw and putting it up here on the platform. I really did. I thought so, and then Chrissy talked me out of it, so it's all her fault, all right? Chrissy said, somebody might be afraid of that bird. And I can't imagine anyone being afraid of my bird. But have you ever thought about a bird's? God feeds the birds. You know, I was thinking the other day, I was looking out and I was looking at some birds. Of course, I like birds, and Michelle likes birds, and some of us like birds in here. And so I was looking out at the birds and I thought, man, you know, you could fly. you do all these things. And I was thinking about these verses, and I thought, you just don't know what's coming, do you? You don't realize that. Especially, I saw a bird the other day. He was out on the asphalt, and the cars were going up like this, and he's walking around trying to get out because someone had ran over a skunk or something in the road, and he wanted to go out and just kind of take a little bite. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking, you're nuts. You're nothing but hollow bones. When that thing hits you, you're going to just splatter all over the place. You better get out of the way. And he just kind of walks out there. He doesn't realize it. He has no worries. Now, birds, don't get me wrong, when they're out in the wild, they spend time looking and foraging for food. But one thing I found about a bird out in nature, when they find the food, they get satisfied and they quit. And when these birds are satisfied, they're taken care of, and God said, I feed those birds. I take care of them. Something I found is really interesting with, I have a macaw, and with my macaw, whenever that bird eats, that bird will pick up a nut and eat it. And when he does, here's the strange thing about that. He drops food all the time. Now for me, that's a little aggravating because I'm thinking, I'm paying big money for your food and you're dropping half of it. But do you realize that's instinct? And let me tell you why. Because how do you think birds, or how do you think other animals eat in the forest? A bird flies down, he gets a nut, he cracks it, he can break it up with his huge beak. When the food falls down, he hits the ground, and then the ground squirrels and others, they're able to eat because the birds drop down the nuts. That's how it works. See, God not only takes care of the bird, he takes care of all of nature. But something interesting, Jesus asks a question here. Are ye not better than they? And here's what he's saying. If I can take care of them, if I can feed them, can't I take care of you as well? You see, a bird doesn't have a soul. A bird that has no promise of heirship with Jesus Christ. A bird has no place prepared for him in heaven like we do as God's people. A bird has never had the privilege of receiving Jesus Christ as Savior like we have. And what God is saying is simply this: why are you concerned about the things that I can naturally take care of? I found this little poem in regards to Jesus feeding the birds. Here's what it said. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Aren't you glad we have a Savior like Jesus? If he can care for the birds, he can care for you. But then he illustrates it secondly in this passage when he says he preserves life, verse 27. Notice what it says there. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? All right, now, here's what he means. It's good for us to eat right and to exercise and all that. That's good. None of us would deny that. But here's the question. If you worry about your length of life, can you add another day to it? That's what he's asking. Can you add another day to it? In fact, you know what the truth is? It does the opposite. Because when you worry and you fret about your life, what he says is what'll happen is it will shorten your life, because you know worry has a lot of bad side effects to you physically. I mean, it causes all kinds of things to your body. And I'm not here to get into the medical part of that. That's not my point. The emphasis is this. Jesus says, I take care of your life. I preserve your life. He's not saying you don't take care of your body and all of that. He says, I preserve your life. And if Jesus can feed the birds and Jesus can take care of your life. And then he gives another illustration in this passage. And this, each of these point out areas in our life that we need to realize that he clothes the nature. In fact, the flowers of the field and all of those things, the Bible said that God takes care of. And sometimes we spend way too much time focusing on what God naturally is going to give to us. Interesting. Many of you perhaps have heard of John Wesley. How many have heard of John Wesley? All right. Probably most of you have. John Wesley lived in England, and he was a founder of the Methodist Church. And as I went to, my wife and I went to where John Wesley's church was in England back several years ago. It's maybe one of the great events. One of the things etched in my mind is being one of the greatest historical things that I've seen ever. I remember going there, and I looked, and we were kind of looking at his church as we got off there at I can't remember the stop now, but I think it was like White Castle stop or something. We got off, we walked up off the tube, and made our way there, and we looked around in his church where he preached, and the same pulpit that John Wesley preached is still there today. And I looked up at that pulpit and knew that it was through that pulpit many, many people came to Christ, and through the preaching from that pulpit by John Wesley. And then I went down and had a museum. We walked around, and there were some British people down there, and so we were kind of looking, and I don't know why, but they thought I was an American. I don't know why. I have no idea. And so I walked up to them, and they said, "Oh, how can you do so?" You know, and you know, doing the old, you know, British thing. And I said, "I'm doing great. Where are you from?" "I'm from California." They said, "California? Yeah, you're from California. Well, you come a long way, sir." And as we got to talking, one of the guys just kind of said, "Hey, would you like for me to take you on a tour of John Wesley's house?" Which happened to be right on the property where the church is. And I said, "How soon?" He said, "After lunch." And so I think we went down and got the fish and chips, you know, the London fish and chips. We came back. We walked up and we met this man, and he took us on a private tour of John Wesley's personal home that was there. It was amazing. One thing I liked about John Wesley, he was 5'3". I was taller than John Wesley. I am. It's cool. He showed us his grave. He showed us everything. We walked around in his place. It had really very little in that house. I mean, there was, you know, they tried to obviously kind of set it up and make it like. But one of the things I noticed in there, as we made our way down into his bedroom area, they had on display, it was real dark and they didn't want any lights on there. They had his clothing there. And what he said was, this is what got me. He said, "John Wesley, that what we would know, had two sets of clothes. That's it. I remember that. Two sets of clothes." Because remember, they have clothes in those days to the extent like we have. You know, we probably throw away more clothes than they ever had. And he had two sets of clothes. And he had his one set, and it was there lying in that case, and they had all that. And I got to thinking, I said, "Wow, that's truly an amazing thing to know that here was a man that walked with God." I was able to go up and look at his prayer place where he prayed and spent many hours in prayer, where God just some amazing, amazing things that came. But the point of the matter is this: his focus was on God, not on his clothes. You know, I wonder how many of you, your focus is wrong. And you know what? In fact, here's what I find. When you focus on all the wrong things, worries begin to increase dramatically. And what God is saying is, why do you do that? I'm your heavenly Father. I feed the birds. I I take care of your life. I clothe the fields. Why are you worried about those things? Stop worrying, he says. This is Jesus speaking here. Stop worrying about those things. I'll take care of them. But then there's a third reason why that we shouldn't worry. And that's because it is unreasonable because of our faith. Verses 31 to 33 shows us that we shouldn't worry. Can I get you to go back, Joel? I had a quote I wanted to give people a little bit that I missed, and I don't want to miss it. It says, "Worry declares our Heavenly Father to be untrustworthy in His word and His promises. Worry shows that we are mastered by our circumstances and by our own finite perspectives and understanding rather than by God's word." John MacArthur said that in his commentary. That was great. And so I began to think about it. I said, "Lord, you know, what am I doing? I shouldn't worry about all these things, and I'm letting all these things just burden my heart down. And Lord, please forgive me, because I realize that, Lord, you're God." And it's unreasonable because of our faith when we begin to worry. Letter A, worry destroys our faith. Worry is unbelief in its fullest extent. Jesus mentions that the pagan world, they have to worry. They do. They have to worry about food and clothes and all these other things. And it's no wonder they're worried about it, because they don't have a Savior. But thank God today we have a Savior that takes care of us. Amen? I know you're sitting here and you're thinking, and some of you are going through your mind right now, you're saying, "Yeah, but I got to go buy clothes, and I got this, and I got food, I got groceries, I don't have any class, you know, all that." And, you know, and I understand that. But here's what God says: don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't be consumed with it. Because that's what worry does. Worry destroys our faith. You see, if I worry about something, worry about something, worry about something, worry about something, here's what I do. You know, if I go through the whole, and I know that many of you are much more spiritual than I am, because I find myself sometimes doing that. I can worry for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Anyone ever felt like that? Okay, I thought maybe somebody might, but I know I do sometimes. And as I worry about things, you know what I'm doing? All the while I'm doing that, I'm weakening my energies, and my faith is going down. Worry destroys it. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that if you worry about all these things and you're letting these things, it's just simply doing nothing more than destroying you. And the focus then becomes less on God and all on the things in this life. And verse 33 says it all. God commands us to seek Him. The cause of worry in this world is what God says, "I'm going to give to you anyway." The Gentiles worry. The world without Christ, they're worried about all these things. And God says, "I'm going to give you those. I'm going to give you your food. I'm going to give you your clothes. I'm going to give you all those things. I'll take care of those, and I'll provide you the resources to be able to get that." But he says, "Look, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." We're commanded to seek Him first. And I will tell you this: you seek Him by being in church on Sunday, not at the mall on Sunday. You seek Him first when you decide that His kingdom is more important than your kingdom. You seek Him when you decide that you want to get everyone you possibly can to know Christ as you know Christ. You seek Him when you expand His kingdom and you do all that you can and you want people to know Christ like you know Him. Rather than seeking clothes and being wrapped up in all those things, we just understand that we're letting God's kingdom manifest itself through us, and we're living for Him and letting God take care of the things that everybody else is worried about. We don't have to worry about it because we have a Savior to take care of it. That's what Jesus is saying. In fact, Paul wrote and said these words But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now look, I'm not trying to be cruel and mean to you. I'm just simply saying, we need to stop worrying. We just need to stop worrying and stop letting the devil rob us of the joy we have in serving Jesus Christ. The reason we're not to worry is because it's unfaithful to the Master. Number two, it is unnecessary because of the Father. Number three, it's unreasonable because of faith. And then number four, it is unwise because of our future. Verse 34. We're to take care of our daily walk. Look, I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, and I don't even know if I can handle tomorrow's problem. Have you ever thought about it this way? Isn't it really good that you don't know the future? Aren't you really glad of that? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year. I don't even know if you could handle if you knew you could know those things. I know I couldn't. If I knew right now that next year I'd be struggling with cancer, or worse yet, maybe some of my family, or some tragedy, if I knew that, I don't know if I could handle today. And what God is saying is that we need to just take care of our daily walk today. Look, it's bad enough just dealing with today. Amen? That's what the Bible says. Sufficient on the day is the evil thereof. My walk is today. I need to be concerned about today. Now, that doesn't mean we neglect our future, we neglect where we are, because the truth matters, if you neglect your relationship with Jesus Christ, you can't go to heaven. The Bible said that the only way we go to heaven is by receiving Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's why I come to die for us. And I beg you, I plead with you that you come to Christ. But the Bible said that we're not to worry about tomorrow's events and next week and all of that. And I think sometimes we as Christians, you know, that's what we do. We're always worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, next week, next year. And quite honestly, there's some people, they live every day worrying about tomorrow. Just like I said in the beginning, all of us have done this. We've wasted worries, haven't we? We've worried about tomorrow. We don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. You know, some people, quite frankly, you know why some people will never tithe? They'll never get into the understand what it means to tithe. It's because they're too worried about not having enough. So they'll never tithe. So that's why 90% of the people never tithe. 10% do, 90 never do. They'll never take. If they get $100, they wouldn't put 10 in the offering. They wouldn't. If they got 1,000, they wouldn't put 100 in the offering. Wow, that's too much. They're afraid they couldn't make it. And the truth of the matter is, what you're doing is you're worrying about something that you don't need to worry about. God says, I got you covered. Would God ever ask you to do something that would jeopardize your life? Would God ever ask you to be obedient to something and do something that would hurt you? No. God wouldn't do that. Do you realize that each day is another present given to us by God? I don't know when my last day or my last breath will be. The Bible says it like this: it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Every morning I wake up and I can say, man, I have another day. I have another day. So we're to take care of our daily walk with him. We're to seek to live for him today and let God take care of tomorrow, because tomorrow's in his hands. Remember, like the song we just sang? I know who holds tomorrow. Because he does. We're to trust God for tomorrow's walk, because God will lead us and guide us always in the path that he wants us to take. Now, let me close with this one thought and we're done. Look at verse 32, because you may have missed it in the reading. We notice to take no thought three times. That means stop worrying. We notice that God illustrates why we shouldn't worry. He tells us that. He gives us reasons for that. He illustrates that for us by feeding the birds and taking care of the fields and all of those things. But verse 32 really says it all, and I think it's the sort of the target point centers around everything in it. Look at verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. All right, here's where I want you to see. For your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. You know what Jesus said? God the Father knows you need food. All of you do. You need clothes. You need transportation. You need a house. You need all these things. God knows that. But here's what God says, stop worrying about them. Because here's what happens. You're worrying about something God says already got for you. Now, it may not be what you want, but God's already got what you need. That's what he says, doesn't he? Do you realize there's not one thing that you need that God doesn't know you need that? And what God is reminding you and me is this. We don't need to have so much of our concerns, because let me just be honest with you. Here's where it is, and I gotta quit. But this is so important. Here's where it is. Here's the world out here. Okay? And the world's concern is food and clothing and looking good and having the best of everything and driving the fanciest of everything and looking and looking so wonderful and so attractive and all that. We're all wrapped up in our bodies and how we look and all that. And here's the Christian over there saying, I have a Heavenly Father. I don't need to worry about all that. He's taking care of all that. I just want to honor him. I'm seeking him first. He'll take care of all these other things. Why do I worry about that? Why am I worried about all those things? I don't need to worry about them. He's got it. He knows you need it. He'll take care of it. That's what he says. Heavenly Father,